supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. You are welcome to another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. As usual, we choose an interesting topic to speak about. For today, we have forgiving and, of course, forgetting in the view of Islam. Today, Wednesday, 25th of Sha'ban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Isfand 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 16th of March 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to the Holy Quran, verse 14 of chapter At-Taghabun.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم.
O you who have believed, indeed among your wives and your children are enemies to you, so beware of them. But if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that the believers, besides being decisive in maintaining their beliefs and refraining from yielding to the entreaties of their families as to deviate from the straight path, are supposed to endeavor to forgive the faults of others in the same manner that they invoke Allah Almighty for forgiveness, since it is through such affection and forgiveness that they may invite them to obey Allah Almighty. Because if you repent and apologize for their faults and join us following your migration, do not turn away from them, but forgive them as you invoke Allah Almighty for forgiveness.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran.
شكرًا يا ربي شكرًا هديت قلبي شكرًا نورت دربي شكرًا شكرًا يا
ربي. Forgive and forget. To have a sound heart means to let go of whatever that is hurting us in this world. A sound heart is made for Allah, and it is not meant to hold so much hurt of this dunya, so it is better for us to rectify our intentions from time to time through daily spiritual purification. This is one of the ways to obtain a soul heart according to this hadith on forgiveness. Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The gate of paradise will be opened on some days, and every servant who associates nothing with Allah will be forgiven, except for the man who has a grudge against his brother. It will be said, delay these two until they are reconciled."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the essence and importance of forgiveness. The eighth star in the sky of Imamate, Imam Radha alayhi salam, enumerates several rights and their values. And he says, "Whoever feeds a believer is better than freeing a slave. Whoever quenches the thirst of a thirsty believer, Allah will quench his thirst with the drink of paradise. Whoever clothes a naked believer, Allah will clothe him with garments of paradise. Whoever lends a believer for the sake of Allah, it will be counted as charity for him until it is repaid. Whoever eases a believer's worldly difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate his difficulties in the hereafter. And whoever fulfills a believer's need, it is better than performing i'tikaf in Masjid al-Haram for a whole month. The most instances mentioned for fulfilling the rights of a fellow believer in this narration are of the nature of financial donations and assistance. Moreover, this type of assistance and donation is prioritized over recommended acts such as i'tikaf in Masjid al-Haram, which itself indicates the special importance and status of giving and assisting Allah's creation. So what is the best possession and wealth with regard to our discussion that is forgiveness? So what is the best possession that a person might have? Humans have two attitudes towards money and monetary issues and fall into two categories. The first group consists of those who earn wealth and keep it for themselves, stacking money upon money, accumulating wealth and turning to hoarding. This attitude spells doom for humanity. The rivalry in worldly increase distracts you until you visit the graves. No, you are going to know, then no, you are going to know. What we possess should be put into circulation without attachment. In this case, there is no need to hoard or store it in a warehouse or home.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your soul.
Now, the answer of this question, how to forgive someone. One of the answers will be, ask yourself, why should I forgive? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, actions are but by intention, and every man shall have but that which he intend. Thus he, whose migration was for Allah and his messenger, his migration was for Allah and his messenger, and he whose migration was to achieve some worldly benefits, his migration was for that for which he migrated. You thought you'd forgive them, but sometimes you unconsciously expect something in return. Perhaps a I'm sorry statement, but what if that never happened? One of the ways you can rectify your intentions to forgive is the sake of Allah and His Messenger. Allah loves those who forgive, so wouldn't it feel rewarding to be loved by Allah, the Lord of the world? In chapter 7, verse 199, Allah says, O Prophet, take forgiveness as your habit, enjoin virtue, and ignore the ignorant. A time when we many people are unhealed and feel broken. The concept of forgiving in Islam allows us to move past emotions that hold us back and keep triggering us. Dr. Fred Lusking, an author of Forgive for Good, speaks about how and why we should learn to forgive. He says, forgiveness is the ultimate resolution to unwanted loss or grief. He also believes that the need to forgive means we object to someone that happened to us. Therefore, forgiveness is making peace when you don't get what you want.
You achieve forgiveness more readily when you are prepared to forgive others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in Surah An-Nur as well, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. You know, forgive and embrace. Would you not like Allah to forgive you? For indeed Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Now, Allah knows we are human beings, and He knows we have a heart, and He knows we feel hurt, and He knows that we might find it difficult to forgive. He asks us to look into the matter seriously. You may forgive, and you should forgive, and you should try and forgive. But the question is, what if I can't forget what was done? You never ever need to forget what happened. You don't need to. If over time you have forgotten, it was good because the relationship might have built and you forgot what happened. Or it slipped your mind or it's no longer in the front of your mind. But initially, it's very difficult. And you know, sometimes you don't even need to interact with the people you've forgiven, but you've let go. This is something that many people don't understand. I've spoken about it in the past, and I'm speaking about it again because someone's asked me a question, and this is the answer to it. You forgive, but you don't forget. That's it. And you forgive, it doesn't mean you need to embrace. To forgive is one act of worship, which is more important. To embrace is another act of worship, which is not as important as the forgiving. Because sometimes you might have a person who is really a nasty person. You've forgiven them. They may not be genuine in seeking that forgiveness. You may not know you're a human being, but you've let it go, but you want to limit your interactions with them. Bravo. That's actually a good thing. Subhanallah. It's good to limit your interactions with those who may be toxic. Those who may not have changed their ways. I can't handle being in their company. It's very stressful. My mind has a pressure on it whenever I'm with this person. I feel so, strongly about not being with them. And it just stresses me and gives me the jitters, or I get depressed, whatever else it may be. You just don't want to be with them. No problem. There's nothing that says you have to be with them. They've wronged you in the past. They belittle you. They mock at you. They lie about you. They cause problems for you. You can minimize your relationship with them, but you've forgiven them. What am I going to hold it in my heart for? It's okay. I've forgiven. That's a very important lesson.
Forgiving and forgetting, we should know more and more, and of course practicing them. So inshallah, we follow this interesting and necessary topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So follow us on parstoday.ir, the tab Call of Islam. The archive of all the programs are there. Please find today's special. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi,
محمد نبي علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate upon what the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible successor, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, said when asked about the promised Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. He will be my son, the namesake of the Prophet. Whoever dies without knowing him will die the death of ignorance. his absence will be lengthy, and the ignorant will wander puzzled, and would surely stray from the right path. But the righteous shall remain steadfast, and pray for their imam to appear within their lifetime. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We've been discussing about the hadith which explains about the qualities of Shia. And the first point which is mentioned in this hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, there was wara'. Wara' means piety, being pious. And we're going to discuss a little more about the wara' in the other ahadith of Masumin, other sayings of Masumin. There's another hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who narrates from Old Testament that Prophet Muhammad said, it has been said in the Old Testament, the Torah of Musa. And the hadith goes like this: في التوراة موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام لا أقلك الدين ولا ورعك الكف ولا حسبك حسن الخلق. Well, he's trying to say there's in the religious part, there's intellect is the top, is the head of the religion. And wara', being pious or piety, is la wara'ak al-kaf. There's a no piety except you, or just like you, just stop yourself from doing anything wrong. And wala hasabak husn al-khulq, and there's a no lineage, because lots of people say, I'm the son of that, and I'm son of that family, I'm son of that tree, I'm son of that tribe. So this is called in Arabic, hasab means when you explain yourself or tell about yourself, introduce yourself through your lineage, your ancestors, your tribe, your country, your land. Well, this is in a summary called hasab. Prophet Muhammad is saying in this hadith, narrating from Old Testament, he says, وَلَا حَسَبَكَ حُسْنِ الْخُلْقِ. Good ethics, good morals, good attitude, it is the best of best lineage. This is the best thing which introduces you. So the first point he says is, لَا أَقْلَكَ الدِّينِ. If you want to be religious,
use your intellect. Mainly intellect's job is preventing self from doing wrong things. This is aql. Aql, usually we think, if I'm very smart, I'm intellectual. No, this is not the meaning of aql. Aql means when you are in a way, you don't know which way you have to pick. Aql says always go to the side of God, which is going to connect you to your eternal life. So la aql kadin means if you want to be religious, you have to be intellectual. Means protect yourself, prevent yourselves from doing wrong things. Number two, wala wara'ak al-kaf. You want to be pious, you want to use piety in your life, always prevent yourself, guard yourself, watch yourself. Don't see things which is not meant to see. Don't speak things which is not meant to say. So the point is here, guarding self, preventing one from doing wrong things is wara. And that is the top. What is the top quality of wara? What is the top quality of piety? When you totally control yourself and your surroundings from doing anything haram. And the last part of the hadith is wala hasaba ka husnil khulq. The best of best lineage is your good attitude. It's just like perfume. If you talk about perfume and say this perfume is very good, the water is from there, oil is from there, this is from there. No, you don't have to explain about the ingredients of the perfume. Just open the bottle and people will feel which is correct, which is not correct. Here, the same thing is here. La hasaba ka husnil khulq means when you talk, when you show your good attitude, when you show your good manners, then it will say to others that you are people of God and you are people of wara. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected listeners from all over the world, welcome to IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us on Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy to have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Hassan Nasrullah with me here today in the studio. I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And Fawad, how are you?
Fine, sir.
Hassan, how are
Fine,
you?
Fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah,
Hussein?
Sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, today we will practice Ayah 34, Surah Al-A'raf, page 154. So, as you heard, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, grab your Quran, sit properly, and the direction of Qibla, which has more thawab. And so, turn to page 154, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 34. Let's listen to this ayah once and we will, inshallah, start our class.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa li kulli umma أجل فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون.
That was nice recitation. Okay. So, anyone who can recite these ayahs?
Fuad, sir.
Fuad? Alright, Fuad. Listen, I just read it once, then Fawad will recite it.
Yes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa li kulli ummatin ajal. Fa idha jaa'a ajaluhum la yasta'khiruna sa'atan wa la yastaqdimun. You can stop at any of the stations, whatever you want. Okay, Fawad?
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ما شاء الله
ولكل أمة أجل فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة
أحسنت
ولا يستقدمون
أحسن ما شاء الله ولا يستقدمون
intentional mistake
What is the difference if he pronounces وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ or وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ?
So because I'm the one who read it, I will explain.
Alright, explain it.
Because I read it intentionally wrong.
Right.
So if I said intentionally, I said وَلَا, it means there's a difference between no and for sure.
Mm.
So if I prolonged it, it would be
no.
Yes.
So وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, it means the certain time which is given for everyone will not advance it. Okay, for example, you have 12 months to live in this world, so this time will not be extended without any reason. Okay,
a lunar calendar or
whatever. So وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, if you say وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ without the alif, وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, this لَا means
for sure
it will advance.
So be sure to never read it intentionally wrong.
Even accidentally, don't read it that way. Be careful. Alright, good job. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٌ, this is a beautiful ayah. So anybody who reads this ayah and think about it, he will understand a lot.
Which I did.
Which Fawad has learned a lot. So Fawad, what have you learned from this ayah? Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٌ, there is a preordained, okay, time for every nation.
Yes.
Certain time. Pre-planned for time for everyone. It means Allah Almighty has, for example, Allah Almighty has created me, okay, brought me to this world, and maybe I live for 50 years, I live for 60 years, I will live for 80 years, maybe 100.
It's a question.
Yeah.
Here, Ummah refers to race.
Yeah, nation, race, which means everything, everyone, every nation. We have two types of ajal time. Okay, it also talks about the period of time. Okay, the period of time. For example, 50 years. From year 1 to 50 years. This period of time is called ajal. And also it refers to the last point. The end. The end. Okay? Maybe God has brought me to this world to live for 50 years. Okay? But, normally if I continue living normally, okay, without, for example, bringing changes or doing something that can extend my lifetime or shorten my lifetime, all right? Just normally if I go, when I enter my 50, I die and it's over.
Mm.
But ajal also means the last minute, the last moment. Okay, the final moment. So it could be, look, this period of time that I said, the first meaning, it could be changed, but the last point or the end is never changeable. Okay, that's only Allah knows that, okay? Now, I can shorten it, yes? If I do so.
Yeah.
I can extend it. How? I can extend it. For example, you, okay, you are so, so respectful to your parents. Your parents always make dua for you. Always make dua for you. May Allah extend your life. May Allah give you good life. Okay? This, of course, extends our life. There are a lot of things, okay, in the hadith. If you refer, you will learn. You can learn that. Alright? So that's ajal. Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ ajal. We talked a lot about this ayah today. We have to move on. Just the last point. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ When their time comes, this is important, okay? This is important. When their time comes, they shall not defer it by a single hour, okay? Alright, for example, they will die at the age of 50, somebody, at the age of 50, and 50 years, 2 months, three weeks, 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 1 second, for example, a person. That's their life, okay? The last moment of his life. So it will not be, for example, 50 years and 4 months. 50 years and 1 month. No, exactly at that time finishes.
Sure. What if he extended his life exactly at that moment?
Huh? Who extended?
Someone who is going
to
die.
I told you it can be. لا يستقدمون الساعة does not mean hour, 60 minutes. Okay, ساعة means a moment.
Yeah.
Nor shall they advance it. Alright. So, that's it. Refer to the Tafasir books. There are a lot of beautiful things that you can learn, a lot of beautiful lessons that you can get. Since we are running out of time, we cannot move on.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا
Let's recite the Quran.
So, we all have to mention some tajweed points. I've seen a lot of students pronouncing the words, those words that have tajweed, they pronounce them without the tajweed. They don't care about the tashdeed. Yes, Hassan?
They don't care?
Yes. Yeah, they don't care because they don't usually.
Oh.
Okay? And also they usually forget it. Hassan, how do you read it? Walikulli.
Walikulli.
Ah, mashallah. Ummatin. Read.
Walikulli ummatin.
Ahsan. Walikulli ummatin. Make sure you pronounce the tashdeed. Alright?
Yes.
And Ali Nasir, what about the word... I extended it. Why? You know the reason?
Yeah, we have ashadda on meem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nasal sound.
I had a shadda with lamas as well, but why didn't I extend
it? Because only noon and memes, nasal sound is for two counts. Others, they don't count.
Yeah.
So you should stretch it.
Yeah, you have to stretch the sounds of meem and noon in case they have shadda. ثم إن أم extend the m sound for two counts and
nasal sound.
When you extend it, then the sound comes from the nose. Alright?
Yes. Yes.
But the rest of the letters, lam, jim, kha, whatever, we don't extend them. So, walikulli, it's different from the idgham. In idgham, it's something different. You will learn. وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلْ What does Salah tell us, Hassan?
It says that it's better to continue.
Better to continue. Yes, good job.
But you can still pause.
Yeah. We have two of them. Good. فَإِذَا جَاءَ What about this? مَد
واجب.
Because the Hamza
and the Mad letter.
And the Mad letter.
There is Alif.
Which is Alif? They
on
are
the same word.
And the same word in one word, in the word ja'a.
Yeah.
Which means comes. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً Make sure you pronounce the hamzas correctly. يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً Right? يستأخرون أجلهم جاء أجلهم ساعة ولا يستقدمون. If you join them ساعة
تو
ولا يستقدمون يستقدمون
قلقل
قلقل echoing sound, echo the sound of cough here. Yes, read it Hussein. ولا
يستقدمون
يستقق. At the same time it's heavy letter. ولا يستقدمون. Alright, that's it. Let's recite it. I will recite it once. Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir. You repeat after me, brothers and sisters. Please listen and join us in recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ولكل أمة أجل.
ولكل أمة أجل.
فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة.
فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة.
This time we will join the word ساعة with واو. We will apply the rule إدغام.
فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون.
فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you inshallah. That's it from us for today, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Stay with us. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you in the next coming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-Tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ocean of Dua. Here we are for another lesson and another journey to the profound ocean of spiritual insight. I am Mujtaba Farzaneh, your host for today's episode. Since the profound verses of the Whispered Prayer Sha'baniya are filled with wisdom and insight, we are going to continue our previous segment of the Munajat. Through these discussions, we aim to uplift our understanding from the rich Islamic heritage. So let's waste time no more and get into today's section of the dua. Open your hearts and accompany me.
إلهي أقمني في أهل ولايتك مقام من رجى الزيادة من محبتك إلهي وألهمني ولهن بذكرك إلى ذكرك وهمتي في روح نجاح أسمائك ومحل قدسك.
Now that we have admired the beauty of these lines, let's read their English translation. My Lord, place me among those who show servitude to you, the position of those who consistently hope to increase your love. My Lord, please inspire me with a mounting passion for your remembrance and with an enthusiasm for the refreshing resort to your names and the station of your holiness. Inshallah, we're hoping to conclude the discussion of Shaitan's Wilaya in our today's episode. As we promised before, let's mention some of the traps Shaitan plants for the believers and then move on to the theoretical and practical phases of standing against Shaitan. One of the fundamental distinctions between human beings and animals is the ability to think. Shaitan is well aware of the fact that he cannot deceive everyone with the same trick. That's why he resorts to even intellection to find a way to the true believers' hearts. The eschatological tenet of the afterlife in all Abrahamic religions keeps people away from committing sins and crimes. But Shaitan step by step tries to alienate this concept for contemporary individuals. This tragedy continues to the extent that the Noble Quran says, "Some say there's only our present life. We shall never raise." Casting out the belief in the hereafter, one cannot commit themselves to a moral life. In a world where death marks the end of everything, why would I bother myself with living ethically? The second trap of Shaitan is psychological, and that is procrastination. Procrastination holds a true believer from reaching the highest levels of faith. The Noble Quran says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Vie with one another towards the forgiveness of your Lord. But Shaitan fosters procrastination because he knows that some windows close sooner than what we think. And the third one is the empty promises he gives. Promises that he won't live up to. He just sets some broken goals ahead of you so he can enslave you. However, at the end of the day, you find yourself drowning in the deep ocean of remorse and regret. Fame, money, position, and ease cannot be achieved without a cost. So, let's be mindful of what we wish for. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He promises them and fills them with fancies, but there is nothing Satan promises them except delusion. Alright, my wisdom-seeking companions, it's time for a break. Let's come back for the final part of today's journey.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers, but if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
Welcome back, our dear listeners. In this part, inshallah, we will cover some methods to resist shaitan and strive on the path of light. First and foremost, we have to raise our awareness about the obstacles and ups and downs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala path. When you know what's coming, you accordingly make preparations. Moreover, the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help could fortify a true believer. We have to bear in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help reaches those who proved themselves prior to that. On top of all stands seeking refuge to Ahlul Bayt's shelter. This requires three initial steps. One is to understand their true position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in a shocking narration says, وَلَا يَعْذُرُ النَّاسِ بِجِهَالَتِنَا. No excuse will be accepted for those who are ignorant of us. If a believer wants to grasp the least of Ahlul Bayt's position before God and the role they play in handling all the affairs of this universe, they must curl up with Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira. Contemplate on it. Sleep and wake up with it, lest you won't end up in oblivious of the Ahlul Bayt. The second factor is to establish an emotional relation with the infallible Imams. If you want to enter Allah's wilaya, you have to love His representatives on earth. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَةِ. The Holy Prophet of Islam said he wouldn't ask for a reward or anything like that, but to love his family. This is the sublime place of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Whatever helps this emotional relation to strengthen will empower us against shaitan. And the last step is the practical devotion. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey God, His Messenger, and the Infallibles. Every single one of them could be the mediators between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Appealing to them is nothing but appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. They are the mirrors who reflect nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by resorting to Ahlul Bayt, we're acting out Allah's order in the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. O those who believe, seek means of recourse to His Almighty. And what means better than the progeny of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I hope we can make the best of the remaining of Sha'ban to prepare ourselves for the great month of Ramadan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان
والعالم شعبان احبك يا شعبان يا شعبان يا شعبان
every night and every day every night and every day never forget to say لا إله إلا الله Never forget to say لا إله إلا الله
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahth al-Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said, up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahth al-Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after